I think the last 2.5 years have seen a lot of us getting together in round tables, high-level meetings, discussing and sharing and agreeing on action plans. So what we are going to be doing this year is to roll out those plans on the ground in the field and be able to operationalize the issues that we really discussed to be done. For the case of African Wildlife Foundation, we have launched an urgent response fund where $10 million has been raised to really invest in stopping the killing in the field, in the source countries, and then also in stopping the trafficking in transit ports where we are using sniffer dogs, and also complementing that with training legal personnel so that whoever perpetrates the crime would end up being really charged with deterrent penalties. And thirdly, we are ramping up the issue of demand reduction, engaging on the market end of things, and also initiating an African Voices for Wildlife. So these are all really actions we believe will go on to showcase that we cannot keep on talking. We now need to get serious and get things done on the ground to start making a difference.
How significant was the State Forestry Administration's ban on ivory imports for 1 year? How significant is that move?
A step in the right direction. It is significant given that China is the largest consumer. There is no doubt that it's only a very tiny little bit of a step given that it requires a long-term commitment of banning trade in ivory if we expect the recovery of the imperiled species.
Do you think the international community realizes just how close to extinction elephants are due to poaching?
The message is getting there. I have to commend a lot of global leadership that has been taken by various governments and how it has also been accepted and adopted by the United Nations General Assembly. And as a result of that, we see more and more discussions, dialogue, and expression of awareness actually at different levels.
You all have realized some successes from your awareness campaigns. Can you give a couple of examples of some of your success stories?
In essence, if you think about the partnerships we have for our campaigns in China, we have certainly seen a lot of movement and acknowledgement, even just from the State Forestry Department in China, as a response to what we are doing and obviously the many other engagements that are taking place around the issue.
I also understand that in Kenya and Tanzania, you have a lot of success in using tracker dogs, which have led to a number of arrests of poachers.
We have worked with the Kenya Wildlife Service and started using sniffer dogs at Jomo Kenyatta International Airport. And we are looking at really rolling this out to Mombasa Port, and then in Tanzania doing that at Dar, and then Zanzibar, and looking at other countries as we scale out to really roll it out across the whole sub-Saharan Africa.
Also, can you tell us what's going on in Zambia that houses Africa's second largest park?
When you look at Southern Africa, so Zambia is part of the whole Kavango-Zambezi Transfrontier Conservation Area, which in fact is where the largest herd of elephants in the world is. And that's shared with Zimbabwe, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Namibia. So what has happened in Zambia is we are working very closely with Zambia Wildlife Authority and other local NGOs to track these poachers and any illicit traders. And we have registered quite some achievement when we arrested one of the syndicate leaders who was out there last year.